Another 4 years in office.
Carlos, and this is the part of this. There is a part of the Trump base. I don't know what else to call it, because, and it used to be part of the Republican base, that just wants to make liberals cry, I guess, or just wants to, what is it, own the libs, that's all the Trump candidacy is for these folks. And you see it highlighted a lot in Twitter. But I do come across these folks. I know you do, too. They love it. They don't lament it. They love it. What has happened?
Well, Chuck, I call it political intoxication. A lot of people watch this as if it was a sport, a contest, a reality TV show. And the president, of course, feeds this because it's good for him politically. And I think it satisfies his ego.
Michael Malice here with the last Nightshade of the week. We got a lot to cover, and I don't think we're going to get to all of it, but we're going to do our very, very best. That's a good lower third. It was a very good episode this week with Nick Monroe. Zach Petrizzo, who's a writer for the pro-life media organization Live Action, has been forced to resign after tweeting about Laura Loomer, referring to her as, quote, verbally tormenting CNN reporter Oliver Darcy in the media room at CPAC, an incident which led to the revocation of her press credentials. He's 20 years old, worked as a paid intern for the organization for about a month, and received legal threats directly from her over his tweeted account of the incident between Loomer and Darcy, which he later took down. Petrizzo said his bosses at Live Action were pressured by Loomer into cutting him loose, adding that it all went down in a March 7th phone call with Live Action spokeswoman Allison Centofante and chief and company COO Joseph Lipp. In a phone call with Live Action, both Allison, Joseph, and I spoke about the allegations made against me from Ms. Loomer. The parties agreed to allow for my resignation, he told The Wrap. Live Action clearly caved to the demands of a far-right radical, Ms. Loomer, and did not encourage me to work through the allegations or dismiss them as what they are, frivolous and false. He was out the same day. This is mean. Getting an intern fired is mean. And it's mean because I've tried to get our intern fired and I haven't been able to do it. So it's mean when it actually gets pulled off because he's a fucking mess. Let's just be honest. While on the call, what's his name? Joan? I'm kidding. It's Steve. Steve, the former intern. I'm on to you. While on the call, I'm just joking. I'm trying to get you murdered. While on the call, Petrizzo said Lip urged him to apologize to her, to Loomer, while Centofante offered her thoughts and prayers after Petrizzo told him of legal threats leveled against him by Loomer. He was told the issue was not their problem and he was on his own. Lip, Centofante, and Live Action founder and president Lilla Rose did not respond to comment. As Loomer told The Wrap, yes, I did threaten legal action against him because he's a punk who ought to learn a hard lesson. There's video of Laura Loomer. Can you find this while I read the rest of her smoking weed with Roseanne? It's like a minute long. It released in the last day. And it's just like this. Of course, this is happening. This is what we are now. This is America now. This is us. This is our life. Yes, I did threaten legal action against him because he's a punk who ought to learn a hard lesson. She denied that she had actively engaged in a campaign to get him fired, but did say she took the matter up privately with Rose over Instagram Messenger. Well, she's banned, as you guys know, from PayPal and Twitter. I think she might be banned from Facebook. I'm not sure. It's hard to keep track of. I need a little Excel chart, just like I have for my many things, clothes, to keep track of who's banned from what network. She said that the two are old friends. Both had previously collaborated with James O'Keefe, the right-wing provocateur who'd been gained notoriety for releasing videos of undercover stings. You can't go around using the byline of an organization you're supposed to represent that isn't your organization and use it to harass people and post lies about people who are allies of that organization. Lila and I follow each other on Instagram. I never asked her to fire him when I contacted her. I simply informed her of his behavior and showed her screenshots because I have a lot of respect for her and Live Action. That's not why you show someone screenshots. Hey, I really respect you. Look what your intern's doing. That's not what you're doing. That's bullshit. The imbroglio led to Patrizio's ouster began on March 1st at CPAC when Loomer stormed into the media filing center in pursuit of Darcy, peppering him with pointed questions about his past reporting. That doesn't sound like her. Patrizio, who's a sophomore, at George Mason, was eyewitness to the event, documented highlights on his Twitter accounts. Laura began verbally tormenting at Oliver Darcy and was out of line. We must treat others with dignity and respect. At Molly Jung Fast and others stepped in because of the ruckus and nonsense. Reporters should be reporting on the event, not disturbing others in the media area. At the same time, kid, if you're 20 years old, don't fucking tell reporters how they should act, because maybe they have a better idea than you. Just saying. She is a complete fraud, he added in another deleted tweet. Ouch. She'd been banned from Twitter since November. Did you find that video? If you Google Laura Loomer and Roseanne, it's not there?
Yeah, I'm looking. See if I can find it.
Though Loomer was banned from Twitter last November, Patrizio's tweets did not escape her notice. Shortly after they were posted, she sent Patrizio an email threatening legal action, signaling out his contention that she was a fraud and warned of potential consequences for live action as well. Here's the email. It says, "Hi, Zach. I noticed you accused me of fraud on social media. As you know, or maybe you don't know because you don't look too smart to me." Ouch. I'm trying to multitask. I think I could do this. Let's see who's faster. Laura Loomer, Roseanne. That's called defamation. Unless you're able to prove that I have committed fraud, I'll be having my attorney send you a letter. It's the first result. If you go to Google and go Laura Loomer, Roseanne.
I found something. It wasn't my first result, though.
It's right here. There it is. Hit play. Watch this shit.
You have lovely lips. Let go of the thumb. Okay, suck in. Don't make her laugh. Take your thumb up. Inhale.
I'm kind of curious just to see what will happen.
Cool, right?
I never thought that I'd be smoking pot with the one and only Roseanne Barr.
Consider yourself blessed. Yeah.
This.
Where's our food?
On my knees.
Roseanne's interviewing her. This. Okay, you guys, that's enough of this. This is like a video if Saturday Night Live was aware of the new right. I mean, the idea that these two are in a room together is just absolutely hilarious. And I don't know which one of them is nuttier. It's got to be Roseanne, as Rogan told me. He goes, Laura said to him, unless you're able to prove that I've committed fraud, I will be having my attorney send you a letter, and I'll be filing suit against you on behalf of myself and Illuminate Media for defamation. Now, her attorney, Ron Coleman, I don't know if that's who she's referring to in this letter, was on my show, You're Welcome, last week, and I don't know if she actually means this or she's blowing hot air. She goes, I'm also in contact with your employer at Live Action and will make sure they're aware of your lies and defamatory remarks you published about me while using their name in your bio on Twitter. I'm sure Live Action donors, many of whom I personally am friends with, would not be too fond of your recent defamatory remarks about me on social media. They would surely agree that there is a great liability in employing someone as reckless as yourself. This is so nasty. I know I wouldn't want someone who worked for me going around accusing accomplished journalists of committing fraud without any justification. If you'd be so kind, please let me know where my attorney can send you a letter. Now, my attorney weighed in on this, and he said, this is not actionable, and that's why she's writing instead of her attorney. In addition to her criticism of his tweets, Patrizio said Loomer also accused him. Oh, this is the best part. See, it's not enough that she's pulling a bitch move and is like, kid, I outrank you. I'm going to tell your boss you fucked with the wrong person. No. She has to go to the Laura Loomer route. And she said, Laura also accused him of being involved with the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, a civil rights organization for Muslim Americans that Loomer has called a terrorist organization. The basis for this charge appears to be a single retweet of Petrizzo of Imran Siddiqui, who's the executive director of CARE Arizona. Siddiqui does not list his work affiliation in his Twitter bio, and Petrizzo said he was unaware of Siddiqui's work with CARE at the time. Nevertheless, Loomer cited the retweet in an Instagram story on which she tagged Live Action founder and president Lila Rose. She said, "It looks like you have an infiltrator. He retweets CARE and defends radical leftists. Not a good look." This is exactly like the attack on, well, Trump retweets white nationalists and defends Nazis. This is the same kind of attack. A representative for CARE told The Wrap that his organization had no record of any affiliation with Petrizzo. Yeah, no shit. Oh, this is. I'm gonna have to talk to her about this. I don't like this at all. I think this is a bullying move, and it's. I don't understand how someone who is kicked off of Twitter. What the fuck does that even say? Oh, it's from my book. I don't know how someone who gets kicked off Twitter for her behavior, ostensibly, is comfortable getting someone kicked out of their job. For calling her a fraud. She's been called worse a lot, and she's got a tough skin. Laura, this is kind of mean, and I'm not happy about this. Okay, next story. Meltdowns in the Netherlands, Dutch, Holland. Let's talk about this. Where's the screen? There it is. The Dutch government. Will I can hear you guys. The Dutch government will lose its majority in the Senate after provincial elections yesterday, as voters flocked to a new nationalist party 2 days after a possible terrorist attack in the city of Utrecht. If confirmed, this would mean that Prime Minister Mark Rutte's, is it Rutte or Rutte? I don't know. Rutte, center-right coalition will need to seek outside support to pass legislation. First estimates show that the new Forum for Democracy will now be the largest party in the Senate in a tie with Rutte's conservative VVD party on its first try, coming out of nowhere. Following the lead of Donald Trump, former Forum for Democracy leader Thierry Baudet opposes immigration, emphasizes Dutch-first cultural and economic themes. You will be wearing wooden shoes by law, and you will like it. Pollsters had for weeks predicted Rutte's center-right coalition would lose Senate majority, but experts, including the pollsters, said the Utrecht attack, which killed 3 people, appeared to boost turnout most among opponents of immigration. His VVD is forecast to fall to 12 seats from 13, but the coalition, the center-right coalition, is going to fall from 38 seats to 31 seats. I've mentioned the Dutch parliament before, how they had a one-seat majority, and that was within like 5 or 6 parties that they had to cobble together. So what I've been talking about for months is coming true, the complete inability to form a consensus or any kind of governing majority. The Forum for Democracy is estimated to take 12 seats, and the final results will be published on March 25th. The Senate's the upper house of the Dutch parliament and is responsible for reviewing measures passed by the far more powerful lower house. It's like the House of Lords, kinda. They don't really have that much clout. Now, Baudet shocked establishment parties by saying the Utrecht attack was the result of lax government immigration policies. Others just suspended campaigning. Now, the motive of the Turkish-born man arrested on suspicion of carrying out the attack on the tram is not yet known. I wonder what it could be. "You can tell what's going on anyway," Baudet told a rally. "This is a combination of an honor killing and a half-terrorist motive." Maybe he was on 4chan. That seems to be. The Dutch economy had been one of Europe's best performers under the success of Rutte-led governments, but resentment over early 2010's austerity programs lingers. Recent debate focused on funding the government's plans to meet international goals on climate change, and many supporters of the conservative parties in the coalition are skeptical of climate change. Left-leaning voters feel not enough's being done and defected to the pro-environment Green/Left party, which also got big gains on Wednesday. And this is happening in many of these nations, Germany especially. The Green Party's overtaken the Social Democrats, and there are a few others. Whereas actually in Sweden, the left party is being kind of falling apart, and it's the communists, the party called the Left, that are picking up their slack. Rutte is expected to look to the Green Left and Labor parties for outside support once the new Senate is seated in May. And early results in provincial elections show that this new party has come in first going from zero total seats to 86, while VVD, which is like the Republicans, got 80. That's absolutely, absolutely insane. And everyone who thinks Europe's done, they're too cucked, you know what's going to happen? This is what's happening. At the very least, something's happening. It's changing. And, you know, the big – what we're also seeing in country after country after country is it's the establishment versus the populist party and the labor parties, which are like kind of like the Democrats here, and the center-right parties, which are kind of like the Republicans here. They're working together because they don't have enough votes to cobble together as against to these, you know, insurgent outsider parties and Europe. And when we have the European Parliament parliamentary elections in a few weeks – it's going to be completely bonkers if this direction continues, which it, by all accounts, it looks like it is going to. All right, let's move on to President Trump. Big, big day. President Trump today signed an executive order to promote free speech on college campuses by threatening colleges with the loss of federal research funding if they don't protect those rights. We're here to take historic action to defend American students and American values, he said. They've been under siege. Under the guise of speech codes, safe spaces, and trigger warnings, these universities have tried to restrict free thought, impose total conformity, and shut down the voices of great young Americans like those here today, said the president. And a senior administration official said the order directs 12 grant-making agencies to use their authority in combinations with the White House Office of Management and Budget, OMB, to ensure institutions that receive federal research or education grants promote free speech and free inquiry. White House officials have said it will apply to more than $35 billion in grants. Public universities seeking funding would have to certify they comply with the First Amendment, which already applies to them. Private universities, which have more flexibility in limiting speech, would need to commit to their own institutional rules. Even as universities have received billions and billions of dollars from taxpayers, many have become increasingly hostile to free speech and the First Amendment, said President Trump. He had announced that such an order was forthcoming at CPAC, the aforementioned CPAC last month, where he said the directive would require colleges and universities to support free speech in exchange for federal research dollars. Do you know what I think is going to happen here? They're going to be able to do this. So you're going to have these speakers come. Let's suppose it's Ben Shapiro. And all the students are going to make a huge riot or a big spectacle, and it's going to cost a lot of money in security. And then they're going to say, look, it's not about free speech. It's just too expensive to bring these people on campus. And they're going to pretend to have clean hands. President Trump brought on stage Hayden Williams, who is a conservative activist who was attacked while working a recruitment table on campus at UC Berkeley. The video had gone viral, with conservatives citing it as further evidence of the stifling and sometimes violent atmosphere that they face on campus. President Trump said oh my God, this is the most Trumpy thing you could ever say. He took a punch for all of us, and we could never allow that to happen. What does that even mean? It did happen. What do you mean we could never allow that to happen? We could never endorse that happening, I guess he means.
I have a hard time believing that he's ever taken a punch in his whole life.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's to his credit, I mean, I guess. And here is, in closing with Hayden, here's the good news. He's going to be a wealthy young man. If they want our dollars and we give it to them by the billions, they've got to allow people like Hayden and many other great young people and old people to speak. Free speech. What does that even mean? If they don't, it will be costly. That will be signed soon. Conservative commentators like Ann Coulter and Ben Shapiro have faced hostile environments when trying to speak at universities, particularly Berkeley, where Coulter was forced to pull out of speaking and Shapiro faced protests that required police in full riot gear. White House the idea that Ben Shapiro is causing fucking riots is itself a riot. White House officials declined to provide specific examples about how they would lose funding and said implementation details will be finalized in coming months. This is the kind of thing that sounds a lot more clean cut than it is, because it's going to be very hard to prove that they're fighting. If you're saying we have to have free speech, well, then they're going to have left radicals and say, well, you want free speech? We bring in these left radicals. So if you have the government picking and choosing who speaks on campus, that's also not going to be as clear cut of an issue as people on the right would like to have it. Speaking of things that are not clear cut and things that are a total, total, total calamity, Brexit is getting even crazier. Okay, and now it starts with this. The Lithuanian president, we have her picture here. This is her actual photo. How the fuck am I supposed to say that name? Okay, Dalia. Her last name is... Okay, I speak Russian. I don't think it's anything like Lithuanian, apparently. Grybaskaitia. Grybok is Russian for mushroom. And maybe there's some root there. Grybaskaitia. Dalia Grybaskaitia. This is what happens when your president's a woman. Told CNN that EU leaders have agreed, in principle, to grant an extension to the Brexit process, but haven't finalized the length of the extension. There will be an announcement coming. It may have already come by the time this show airs. Asked if leaders, and I'll follow up, of course, on Monday. Asked if leaders have reached a decision. Grybaskaitia, who left the meeting room to speak to CNN, said, not yet. We're in the middle of discussions, but she added, what can I say is that yes, we will be granting an extension. She added that, as widely anticipated, this agreement will be conditional on the UK Parliament approving their withdrawal agreement. She said, today we will only give a promise to extend. Oh, they corrected her speech. She actually had said, today we will only give promise to extend. I'm going to do a Russian accent. I don't know what a Lithuanian accent is, and they would probably be really pissed that I'm doing a Russian accent because it's, they're the Baltics, right? Lithuania? Yeah, the Baltics.
I also have this pronunciation of her name that might help you.
Yeah. Well, you could hit the button. Want to play it, audio? Grybaskaitia. Play the audio. Oh, it doesn't say it. Look for a video. If you go to videos, sometimes they'll have it. Let's solve this mystery. Today, we will give only promise to extend, but the final date and decision will be confirmed only conditionally if the UK Parliament next week will vote for the deal which is agreed already. If not, we will be in trouble, all of us. And again next Thursday, highly likely, we're meeting for extraordinary meeting. She said May 22nd is a, quote, more secure date for the extension because European elections begin after that date. But if Theresa May succeeds in passing her withdrawal agreement at the third attempt next week, the discussion could be opened for a technical extension until June 30th. Do we have that video? No? Okay, it doesn't matter. Cabinet ministers in UK believe there's now a real risk of a no-deal Brexit, with sources close to them describing the mood in government as depressing, and number 10 as, quote, run by lunatics. What does compound media have in common with number 10 Downing Street? Nothing. Senior members of the cabinet from both sides of the Brexit argument are understood to think the chances of the UK leaving without a deal have substantially increased after the Prime Minister set herself against the longer extension to Article 50. At this point, Theresa May just wants to fucking pull the trigger and be done with this shit. I mean, this is her entire life being ruined every single day. It's like Chinese war torture for her. One aide to a cabinet minister said number 10 was in full-on bunker mode. Yikes. And the Prime Minister's speech from Downing Street showed they have all taken leave of their senses. No video? It's all right. It doesn't matter at this point. Another soft Brexit cabinet source described the mood as depressing and said of no deal, quote, the risk is now very real. On the other side, a cabinet member who supports Leave believes May has no intention of resigning if her deal fails to pass next Tuesday, and that she would prefer to switch to a position of supporting no deal rather than allow a longer extension. They point to the fact that 63% of Conservative members of Parliament opposed the delay to Brexit, and opinion polls suggesting a shift in public opinion toward no deal. Here's the thing. You got to look at it from her perspective. If the bill fails next week and she quits, she will go down in history, no doubt, as one of the biggest failed prime ministers ever. Whereas if she sticks this out and gets, and even if it's no deal, if she just transitions the country out of the EU, you're going to get some credit for that other than losing, walking out on the heels of your biggest ever loss. So in that scenario, the no deal scenario, the prime minister could attempt another meaningful vote next Thursday in a high stakes gamble that would challenge MPs to back her deal or face no deal at the last minute. So this is crazy, crazy stuff overseas. Who knows where it's going to end up? Let's cut to these videos. I'll do the North Korea stuff.
Real quick, though, I found this video where these guys do say your name in the language. Ready?
What is this?
Shandian mes susitiksime su Dalia Grybaskaite.
Grybaskaite.
Lietuvoje.
What kind of homoerotic? What website was that?
There was two guys that were like getting excited that they were about to meet her or something like that. It was just
Gruba
like the person on YouTube. Yeah.
Okay, Gruba Skatya. Oh, it's a Russian sounding, but it's spelled in a Western way. That's interesting. So we got a couple of videos I wanted to show. Let's hit that first one. I forget already which one it is.
Hickenlooper?
Oh, yeah. This is Governor Hickenlooper of Colorado running for president, and he was asked this at CNN, and he got a lot of heat for it.
Governor, some of your male competitors have vowed to put a woman on the ticket. Yes or no? Would you do the same?
Well, again, of course. But I think that we should be, well, I'll ask you another question. How come we
Wait,
aren't
I'm asking the question?
I know.
What
I
a
know.
Bitch.
But how come we're not asking more often the women, would you be willing to put a man on the ticket?
When we get to that point, I'll ask you that question.
What a bad toupee.
We'll be right
Good
back
Lord.
With
but
more
you know
from
what?
CNN.
There's a difference between would you be willing, listen a little, when he shifted. He didn't promise, he said I'd be willing to, and of course he'd be willing to. But the other people, it sounds like they're guaranteeing. So they're just, I promise I'm just going to put a woman on the ticket. That is so, this tokenism. I mean, Canada's been leading the way on this. We've got another clip. Let's hit this one.
Isabel clearly had the right to send to the United States
Joe
Senate
Biden,
the United
1983.
States Congress a proposal to pack the court. It was totally within his right to do that. He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct. But it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make. And it put in
Look
question for an entire
Look,
decade
Joe Biden.
The independence of
Without
the most significant body, including the Congress, in my view, the most significant body in this country, the Supreme Court of the United States of America. The president had the right to do that. He was totally within his power, and his objective was seen clearly.
Notice how much better spoken he is 35 years ago, not a surprise, than he was yesterday in that clip. I mean, that is someone who is strident, informed, well-spoken, as opposed to this rambling, and he had a point of view. So that is just embarrassing how sad he's fallen. So here are three things that Democrats have been putting forward, just matter-of-factly, in terms of radicalism in the last few days. And these are presidential candidates, and who knows how much they believe it and how much they're posturing. Reparations for descendants of slavery, abolishing the Electoral College, and packing the Supreme Court. Things that are all regarded as completely on the fringe not that long ago. Now it's like, oh, yeah, we got to do it. So and mandating to have a female. Well, you know what? In all fairness, it used to be you have to have a regional balance. So if you're from the Northeast, you're going to have a Midwestern running mate or Southerner. Now it's like, okay, we're going to do identity politics. If you're going to have a white male, you got to throw someone else a bone in terms of identity politics balance. Now, the last story I want to cover quickly is news from regarding the North Korean break-in of the embassy of the DPRK. The revolutionary, and this was in Spain, the revolutionary group that carried out a raid of North Korea's embassy in Spain last month shared information about the incident with the FBI. The decision by the group to engage federal authorities thrust the U.S. intelligence community into a sensitive investigation led by Spanish authorities who have not publicly identified any suspects in the mysterious February 22nd operation. It comes as the Trump administration seeks to improve ties with North Korea after decades of mistrust. Any substantive ties between the group and U.S. authorities could complicate nuclear negotiations, given the organization's stated mission of overthrowing and replacing North Korea's Kim dynasty. The group calls itself Free Chosun, but is also known as Cholima Civil Defense. Let me break that down. Chosun is usually spelled Chosun. They're spelling it Joseon because it's Spain. Joseon. Chosun is a historic name for Korea. And Cholima is their Pegasus, which is a symbol of speed. And I'll tell you a great story about Cholima, and we're going to end on this note. When I was in North Korea, I was talking to my guide on the last ninth, and they have a statue of Cholima, their Pegasus, symbol of speed, in Pyongyang. And I said, this just shows how quick they are and how funny they are and how human they are. I said to her, if I can send you anything from abroad, what do you want me to send you? And she goes, a Porsche. And I said, lady, I'm not sending you a Porsche. And don't ask me to send you Cholima either. And she goes, we have the original one here. Why do I need you to send it to me? She, in perfect English,
I was like, damn. And I sent her, as many of you know, perfume, which was not able to be had in the entire country. So Thursday, today, the group released a video of one of its members destroying portraits of the great leader Kim Il-sung and his son and successor, the dear leader Kim Jong-il. The captions of the clip said, "Down with Kim family rule," and claimed it took place on our homeland soil, suggesting the footage was possibly shot inside the embassy in Madrid. And as many of you know, desecration of the leader's image is punishable by death in North Korea. In fact, there's many stories in North Korean newspapers, which is something even religious people in America can't relate to, where if there's a fire in your house or there'll be a flood, and someone took, everyone in North Korea by law has pictures of the North Korean leaders on their wall, and it's the only thing allowed on that wall, and you have to keep it clean, and the glass is angled so there's not a glare, and you have to, you know, dust it, and they inspect it. They come to your house. Oh, is the picture clean? And there's stories in the press. There's a fire. There's a flood. Someone took the pictures of the wall, drowned, but the picture was saved, and this regard is commendable. And now, I don't know any Christian who would say, well, if there's a fire and you die, make sure you save the Bible. It's just like, what are you talking about? Run, get out. God doesn't want you to burn alive or drown. So that's how bad things are in North Korea. And that's also how heretical it is to destroy their images. In fact, their stamps, it's the only country in the world where many of their stamps you can't actually use for postage, because if you put the leader's picture on the envelope and it gets postage stamped, that is heresy. So on that horrible note, I will be keeping track of this event in the days and weeks to come. But I will wish you all a very happy and free weekend. We have free Mondays here at Compound Media. And until then, sweet dreams.